Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another Free Time Gaming podcast. Our cast and I thank you for joining us again.
Hi, my name is Silver and I play the character Leonardo Grimdor.
Hello, this is Nimble and I play Fair.
Hi, my name is Civilized and I am playing Vex.
Hi, my name is Wolfie and I will be playing the ranger in the group named Rowan.
Hello, my name is Griffin and I'm playing Alderan.
We also have a new cast member named Wolf.
Hello, how's it going?
But more about him later. Now, let's get back to our story. As half of our team spends the night in jail, the other half finish enjoying the fireworks. As the last explosion fades into the night, Rowan asks,
"Should we go find everyone else?"
"I assume they're all fine."
"Well, maybe, but what if we get another message?"
"Well, we'll make sure to go when we get that. Until then, I'm relaxing. This priesthood does take a lot of effort, you know."
She's gonna just shrug her shoulders like, "Okay, I'm gonna go find Leo." And then she's gonna go find Leo.
As she wanders the streets, she bumps into some guards. They inform her that she should be headed inside for the night as per the curfew. She says okay, and then
she's gonna thank them and then turn right back around and continue looking.
So as she stealthily checks for Leo, she accidentally kicks over some bottles that were outside as a patrol turns the corner. They spot her and say, "You there, halt."
She's gonna look up. "Yes, I'm just looking for a friend."
The guards inform her that her friend is either in lockup or inside, like she should be, as they roughly start guiding her back towards the inn. As she enters the inn, Rowan doesn't see any of her friends. She approaches the bar and asks,
"What's the strongest thing you've got?"
"Dwarvish fire brew," he says. She thinks on it and spots a dwarf drinking some of the foul-smelling drink. She then asks,
she's gonna go up to the dwarf and be like, "Can I have some?"
The dwarf answers, "For the right price, yes. It's a very rare drink, only brought out for special occasions. It takes years to make, and the ingredients are getting harder and harder to find. For a pretty lass like you, it will only be 5 gold a mug."
"Okay."
As she accepts the mug, she can clearly smell the stench of death emanating from the drink. Being a person who dives right in,
I'm just gonna start drinking it. Just go for it.
2 big gulps in, she immediately begins to see double.
"Oh, I'm gone."
Not one to pace herself, she smiles and gets 2 more in before passing out at the bar.
"Well, I'm passed out." This character is not meant for drinking.
As the morning sun begins to rise, Alderaan is the first to wake.
"Well, now it's daylight. I'm gonna go to the prison block. See what my buddies."
As he gets about 100 meters from the inn, the rest of the party begins to stir, if not immediately woken, to the booming sound of the mysterious benefactor saying, "Good morning, my champions. I see you are all still alive and well. Please join me at the town hall, and we can begin our business." Hearing this, Rowan says,
"I should not have drank in that, but it was so good. Ow, so loud. It's so loud. Oh, I guess I should get up then and start heading. Ow." She's gonna get up slowly and just meander her way to the town hall.
Cough, cough, not the first time.
Shut up.
Meanwhile, Alderaan approaches the official-looking building that houses the detention blocks. As he enters the granite archway into the building, he spots a tall, slender human in military garb. He then asks,
"Alright, I'm waltz up to that desk. Yes, I'd like to look at, you might have brought in someone last night."
He says, "You'll have to be more specific. We brought in many people last night."
A strange contraption on their back."
As the guard studies him for a moment, he takes a long pause. He then sighs and says, "I see." As Alderaan descends down the slanted hallway, he sees many connecting passages that are locked as the entrance was. Proceeding to near the end, the guard stops them both and opens one of the passageways. He motions for Alderaan to enter. Inside, he sees 9 cells, and in 2 of them are 2 familiar faces. Both purple tieflings, both female. One of them is sitting on a cot, the other laying on the ground.
Vex is giving Alderaan the stinkest eye imaginable as possible.
Oh, this is a very odd predicament. Fair, how'd you get here?
I do not reply. I just twitch my leg.
Understood. What's wrong, friend? I didn't recognize you because I had a little to drink last night. Obviously a lie. Like, not even trying to hide it, just pure out easily tellable.
Just still looking at him, giving him the stink eye. I'm not going to say anything.
Well, I would immediately like to again thank the guard that let me through and go straight up to the desk and ask the one at the desk.
Hello! Is there any way I can get my 2 companions out today? Or do they have to stay for longer?
He says that the tiefling that has been playing dead all night just has a 5 gold bale, while the other has a small problem. With the contraband on her, she's going to have a bigger issue on her hands unless something were to happen. You see, prisoners go missing all the time. It just takes greasing in the right palms.
Well, I'm not too much of a... I suppose it doesn't look good, but if you're willing to look the other way, I could possibly add some shiny trinkets to your pockets, if you know what I mean.
The going price is usually 200, but with the things she has, you're looking at 600 to make her go away. Both Alderaan and Fair attempt to bribe him lower.
I'm thinking closer to like 400 or something.
I tell him, haven't your guards informed you of who I am? And these 2 are part of my entourage. I demand that you lower the price of that bribe.
But after dealing with her all night, the guard immediately disregards her.
Can I just immediately facepalm?
You know what? You can keep her for the night.
No. Let me out. I got 5 gold in my bag thing.
The guard says he's keeping it 600 gold as he digs through Fair's bags for her gold.
Give me a moment.
Can I really quickly send Leo a message? Like, hey, meet me at the prison. I need some help gold wise. Please come and help pay the bail.
I'll slowly climb down from the building and start walking towards it. I'll check my bag, pull it out, and Once I get close to the door, I'll cast my own cantrip spell. And knowing that he's in the prison, I cast, how much is it? And whisper, like, how much is the price? How much is the price?
After some figuring, the group pays the guard. He says it's his break time anyway, so best of luck as he unlocks the cage and walks out, leaving the doors open.
Oh, thank God. Thank God they didn't find out how much gold I have. I look at him and I'm like, oh, it's too bad that I hardly have any gold. Real shame.
Alderaan?
Yes?
Do you know where Rowan is?
Rowan? Yeah, she was looking for you.
Thinking a moment, he then says,
oh, never mind, I remember now. She was way drunk when I left. Like, she was still passed out from the night before. You could tell she was a little drunk. She still had the red, the little red everything. And that's surprising on her gray skin.
Thank you. Let's go pick her up.
The party looks for Rowan at the inn. After talking to the barkeep, he lets them know that she mumbled something about where the town hall was. The party thanks him and regroups in front of the town hall, where they see Rowan sitting on the top steps leading into the building. She is nursing a hangover, shielding her eyes and sipping on some water, looking miserable.
So what happened to you?
It's so bright. Why are you yelling? Why is it so loud?
Fair approaches.
With Rowan complaining about her thing, I'm gonna take a rug out of my bag and drape it over her. I bought this for you, so happy birthday.
Day.
She just throws it over her head, shielding from the sun.
I'm just gonna walk over to her. Just on accident, booming voice directly in her ear. Because I'm right next to her, and Alderaan doesn't know how to control his voice too well.
Don't worry! I can help with this!
Gonna cover her ears. That was so loud!
And I'm gonna let my golden light pour into her through my palm.
That sounds weird.
As he's saying that, the booming and his voice seems to simmer down, and the pulsing headache you had reduces almost to nothing. You feel significantly better.
Thanks. Did you really have to get that close, though?
Well, considering I couldn't do it from range, yes!
Oh, okay. Thanks.
She gives him, a thumbs up.
You're welcome. What the hell did you drink? I need some of it.
It was really good, guys. It was a dwarven fire I don't know. It was good, though.
Dwarven fire wine?
Something like that, yeah. It's really good.
Oh, I've heard stories of that. I remember when I was still training as a priesthood, I remember the head priest getting a full cask of this stuff. Me and the other priest boys would get some, and it was a real wild night.
As Alderaan continues to ramble, the party enters the town hall. They are greeted by a small, female, silver dragonborn sitting behind a desk. She says, "You must be the group he is waiting for. Right this way, please." She directs them down a long hallway, where at the end is a familiar sight for Leo.
Theo, friend, how are you?
A metallic voice replies, "Ah, yes, greeting.
It's been a while since I last saw you. You look like you have lost some weight."
"Not gained or lost any weight, but thank you either way." As he slaps the stomach of his breastplate, it echoes with a hollow sound.
Is the boss man inside?
"The master is waiting for you." As Theo steps aside, Alderaan says with a knowing smile.
Oh, can I, while passing the man in armor, can I just give him a pat on the shoulder and be like, "You are a marvel!" And then immediately go back to the fire wine?
Can I say something before entering? I'm the last person to go in, so I can say the last. Theo, can I talk to you after this, if you don't mind? I'd like to talk to you a bit.
Theo says, "If the master permits, yes."
All right, I'll ask him. Have a good day. I'll see you later.
As they enter the room, the group can't help but marvel at the sight before them. The room is impossibly large. From what they can see, it is a perfect cylinder of 90 meters from one side to the other. It is mostly bare, with the exception of the back third of the room being filled from foot to rafters, 20 meters up, with books and bookshelves. As they approach, they notice the occasional book floating out from the bookshelf and shifting to another location. Another drifts towards the man at the center of the chamber as he sits at a regal-looking desk.
Can I immediately look towards Vex and just give him a little, tap him with my elbow?
"This must get you real going, doesn't it?"
"It does, but I don't know what's in those books. For all I know, it could be farm tools."
"And you're still into knowing things."
I'd like to add that as I say that, you said it's a 20-foot story fucking roof and shit?
It's 20 foot from floor to ceiling, and it's all books on the back third.
I'd probably, Luna would be on my shoulders as of right now, and I would just send Luna up and tell her to look for anything interesting, but not to touch or get too close.
As the party approaches the man, Fair notices first.
Well, this guy is the same Time Lord or what?
Repeat that again, Miss Fair?
They got the guy who hired me. He could stop time and stuff.
Oh, a Time Lord! I could use him to reverse my age! Then maybe I wouldn't be such an annoying old man.
I don't think he's that good.
Vex is going to currently have his, even though it's kind of futile, if he does, he's just very nervous right now, holding his hand towards his hip where his dad is stationed.
Aaron sits there with his head down, scratching a note onto parchment. He raises his left hand as the book that was drifting towards him settles into it with some heft. He opens it and begins to jot something down as the party finally reaches him. They notice a shadow step up to the side of Aaron, and we meet Wolf.
You see a drow wearing kind of leather armor with a short sword and a dagger and long white hair.
Aaron says without raising his head, "This is Malus."
Malus, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. What's your name?
Oh, my name is Leo.
As the party introduces themselves and everyone becomes acquainted, Aaron shifts the book to the side that he was scratching in and says, "I see that you all have managed to meet me here. Good. I have a bit of a problem. I want to see if you fine people can fix it for me. I'm looking for an object that has been long lost. With the help of Malus here, we finally have a good idea of where it is." Aaron begins to gesture, and the party sees images of the Weeping Spire as he says, "As you can see, I'm busy holding things up around here." As they look around it, they see red outlines all over the random towns and cities. "You are to retrieve it for me," Aaron says. "Malus will be your guide."
"What's the object?"
"It's a very ancient artifact. The less you know, the better."
I assume that I would know if you would just give me a little bit more hint on that.
Aaron responds with a smile. "I think you're assuming a little too much, my young friend," as he snaps his fingers and Vex's owl is now perched on the edge of the desk. "Here are a few supplies to assist you with the task at hand." As Aaron waves his arm and 7 scrolls fly swiftly to the desk and stack neatly into a pile, he pushes them to the party. "And you'll want this," as he holds out a large scroll, "to no one in particular."
I'll take it.
Let me have that, since I scouted out the area ahead of time.
I was about to say, I just imagine both of them reaching towards it and just both grabbing an end.
Oh no, you have it. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. You scouted. There you go.
Thank you.
Well, since you've already scouted it, I can assume we'll meet some resistance.
Well, just basically, there's just some creatures out there, just the normal stuff. There's a few things we have to watch when we're going around the rivers, but nothing too serious. Should be able to easily make it there and back.
Ah, well, I'll make sure to buy a shovel before we leave town.
After talking about the information Malus knows, the party discuss the things that are needed for the trip. They decide that potions and some armor will help with the task at hand. With that, the wizard says, "You best be on your way then," claps his hands 2 times, and the party sees a flash of light. As the light fades, they are back in the lobby of the town hall. Vex, having seen a potion shop, leads the way.
Alright, leading them down the crooks and nannies of the city, kind of pointing out all the little shops we go by.
The party stops out front of Mad Malachi's potion shop. Vex has some trouble opening the jammed door, but manages.
Okay. It didn't explode, guys. Calm down. I walk in and I passively scan the room along with Luna.
As they look around the room, Vex spots many strange and interesting things on the various bookshelves and cupboards. They range from bubbling potions to skulls and herbs for various crafts. The group spots an old hooded lady and approach her as she's rocking back and forth in a rocking chair. The party reach the makeshift cabinet and ask for any potions.
Excuse me, do you have anything of For underwater situations and or any health potions.
After a moment, the hooded shopkeep brings up 2 light red potions, 2 dark red potions, and 10 nearly clear potions stacked in a small rack.
With my arcane knowledge, would I know that these are in fact the potions we're looking for?
Would I be able to as a cleric or no?
I don't think so.
That's another nat 1.
Does a 20 work?
20.
Vex gets distracted by how unusually long and hairy her fingers are, while the rest determine that these are healing potions and possibly water-breathing potions. While they determine how much to spend, Alderaan asks,
Do you by chance have any scrolls of water-breathing?
She thinks on the scrolls as Vex asks.
I pull out one of the scrolls that I got from the wizard, like, folded up so she can't see the insides of the, thing, obviously. Something like this, you know, magic-related, typically used for learning.
The hooded figure replies, I'm old, not senile, as she reaches over and finds a small scroll, no bigger than 4 inches by 4 inches unrolled, and says, this should do for what you're wanting.
So, I don't have the money, but I would probably be able to learn this spell if provided the right paper and the right money.
Sure.
But I currently have no gold on my hand, so I leave that to you, Leonardo.
How many water...
Actually, remembering the day before, can I turn to fair?
You mean earlier this morning?
Oh, was it earlier this morning? Yeah. I thought it was last night.
No.
My old mind must be going. Either way, Fair, would you by chance have the funds just lying around? I remember earlier you were doing things.
You must not be remembering correctly. You see, I hardly...
No. Going off what she said, I am old, not stupid.
You look pretty stupid to me.
You're not wrong! I'm not a smart feller, but I'm better than most.
Oh, let me put this to you this way. I don't want to spend my money, okay? I earn it so I don't spend it.
Ma'am, is there any way I can persuade you into lowering down to 175? To have a sort of future friend.
After some haggling, the shopkeep offers 170 gold, and that Vex owes her a debt. She sits there, her hands shaking, presented to you, Vex. So do we have a deal?
I'd go for it. Yeah, she seems trustworthy.
Can I roll insight on that?
Yeah, I roll insight on them both.
Oh, I'm about to. Oh, I'm so touching on
them. Leo, they're speaking the truth. Vex, you can't trust them as far as you could throw them.
I'm gonna go for another one. Oh.
No more than what Vex got.
Just judging from their attitude, and just judging from this, I just look at her and I go, I'm sorry, ma'am. I have fucked up too many times. And I regret my deal, and I take my... And I cannot do this deal.
Her face immediately turns sour as she slams her hand down on the scroll and crumples it as she throws it off the table. Vex says...
I'm not good with people, and I walk out the building. I'm done with this.
As he takes his leave, Alderaan takes a second and then offers.
Well, ma'am, I don't know if it'll do the same for you, but if we talk it out and see what you want, I assume a cleric of Kelemvor being somewhat in your debt is appealing. I would like to discuss what you have planned. Well, it doesn't have to be discussed in full, or it just has to make sure it doesn't break moral code of my god. Do you mind if I spend a second to converse with him to see if he is willing?
She clutches her hand a little frustrated, but agrees.
Wonderful. I'm going to immediately go to the corner of the store and just try to be like, hey, is this good? You all right with this? Is this a bad idea? What up? And I would like, this is partly me praying to my God and also partly using that ASMR thing where I can talk to a guide, an angelic guide.
So, taking a moment to pray to Kellen Vore, you hear nothing at first. And then you begin to hear faint rumble of drums. And the familiar scent and taste of copper on your tongue. And the final scent that you pick up before this sensation goes away is the scent of death emanating from the direction of the potion healer.
All right, I will end the transference and I would like to turn around, trying to put a smile on my face. And I would like to quickly address her. So, what did you say your name was?
My name's Agatha.
Ah, Agatha. Now, do you need to go into the back room or something so we can talk about this? My God is giving me interesting thoughts.
As she eagerly says, we can close shop and discuss this. She begins to shoo the rest of the party out, missing Malice shifting into the shadows, and Luna fluttering to a top shelf. A few moments later, Alderaan collects his prize and exits. After a moment, the party sees Malice exiting the shop as well. On their way to the tanner, Alderaan shows the party what he got and tells them what he had to pay.
Oh, on me, I have a total of... Well, I don't know where one of them went, but I have 9 potions of water breathing, a scroll for you, Vec, 2 potions of healing, and 2 potions of greater healing.
The party asks, what was the cost?
Well, it was quite left open in the open. I basically told her as long as it doesn't break too many laws, as well as if it doesn't break any of my religious tendencies, I suppose you'd say.
After talking to the group, they seemed worried, but promised to help him when the time came. As they find what they're looking for, Leo asks the tanner.
Ah, good sir. Quick question. Do you only do armor, or do you a little bit of custom armor? When it comes to leather.
The tanner informs him, I craft the finest leather wares in all the spires, my friend.
I believe that, because the armor looks amazing. Very good craftsmanship. I got a question. Would you be able to create a quiver-like thing, just maybe bigger than a normal quiver, to maybe host up, put in a little bit like a quarterstaff, or a bit more thicker than a quarterstaff?
He says, I have these for quarterstaves, but if it's not what you're looking for, then I think I can make it.
So I roughly sketch out the size and what I need, and I show it to him.
How much money do you think this would cost? I wanted to conceal what is inside of it.
It will cost you about 35 gold, and it will take me 2 weeks.
And I reach out my hand for a shake.
Vax agrees to the offer, and the party moves onto the docks, as they find a ship to take them to land and towards Valdir. And that's where we will end this week. Until next week.